Well, it is the WGN Radio Theater time, 11:05. What's up, Lisa Wolf?
Hi, Carl. Welcome to the WGN
How
Radio
are
Theater.
You? Well, you know what?
What?
We have scary classic radio shows and one comedy.
It's our Halloween month.
That's right.
Month
October
long.
Is all about Halloween and playing classic radio shows that are kind of scary. But, you know, every once in a while there was a comedy that had to do with Halloween, and we're going to start things off tonight with a great Gildersleeve broadcast, a touching Halloween program.
Uh-oh, more touching tonight, huh? We
yeah.
had some touching last night.
It is, and
no,
Willard
that
Waterman.
That came out wrong.
Willard Waterman plays Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve on that. Then after that, it is The Obsession, a good classic scary radio show.
I'm obsessed already.
And we'll be here till 1 o'clock in the morning. And we're here every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. till 2 on Saturdays and from 11 till 1 on Sunday night. We're going to play our game to start things off.
We are. Guess that song.
Yes.
Yes. And that's what we're going to do. We are going to guess that song. Tonight is 1974 night. It was an excellent year for music.
I had a 1974 Corvette that I totaled.
Did you really?
I totaled it. It was silver.
What did you do to it?
I actually had been cast in the movie Class. Remember that
yeah,
movie?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, with Jacqueline Bisset. And I had a part in that movie.
In Chicago?
Yeah. And no, it was being filmed somewhere. I was cast in Chicago. It was being filmed. And I had a 1974 Corvette. It was maybe like 10 years old or 12 years old. And I was driving it on the highway to my first shooting day of the film Class.
Right, and you were so excited.
And I rolled it. A car cut me off on the highway, and I rolled it and rolled it and rolled it. When I got out of the
you
car.
You were inside and it rolled
yeah,
over?
When I got out of the car.
Is this real?
It's true. I looked at the car, and it was the frame, and all the fiberglass was all over the highway.
That's
and,
not a good story.
I never made it to the audition. Oh, not the audition.
Wait,
I never made it to the first day of filming.
Right,
so
and then
I never,
you got fired?
Yeah, so I got
that
fired.
That was probably your first
I was
and last
replaced
day.
In that movie.
Quickly.
So that was one of the reasons why I got out of acting and got more into producing.
Right.
You don't get fired as
that.
Often.
Right. Well, you could. Knowing you, it's possible.
All right, so what do they win if they guess the song?
They're going to win a Lou Malnati's gift certificate for $25. Great prize, great pizza.
Nice.
And that's what we're going to do. We've got two songs. We're going to play here. We're going to look for caller number 4. You can call right now at 312-981-7200, and we'll be right back.
Guess that song.
We've got James on the phone. Play Guess That Song. Hi, James.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Great. How are you guys?
Great. So glad you made
Hi,
it
James.
Through. You're caller number 4.
You know, I just wanted to say something, James. Roger sent a strong arm man to my house because you didn't pay him for that opening that he did.
A strong arm man?
Yeah, this guy came over, started threatening me and
right,
everything.
Right, so what'd you do about it?
I just told him that the check's in the mail. He didn't seem
okay.
like he believed me, though. So please
right.
send that check to
oh,
Roger.
I paid him already.
Right.
I paid him a lot of money. Don't
okay.
you worry. I got Roger covered.
All right, James, are you good at guessing songs?
Well, I'm glad it was caller number 4 because I can't count any higher.
You and Carl both, James. You're on the same wavelength here.
We both went to the same school.
The school of hard knocks.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to play. I'm sorry.
If I don't know the title, I'll go to my backup song, which is Turkey in the Straw.
You never know. That could be the one. We'll
yeah,
see how
be.
It goes.
Yeah.
We're going to play our first song. I have a feeling you're going to know it. Let's hear a couple seconds right now. You know that one, James? How about the singer?
Not Turkey in the Straw.
I no. know it. I know it.
Okay, but I'm stuck in it. Wait,
something...
wait, wait, wait. Don't
okay.
say it. Let James have a chance.
Oh, I know. If James okay. doesn't know it.
What do you know?
You know it, James? I know
no.
it.
It's familiar, but I can't place it.
It's
all right, Carl.
The B-I-T-C-H is back.
Can I say it?
Nah, spell
it's
it.
The name oh. of the song.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
All right, the B-I-T-C-H is back is absolutely right. And who sings that song?
I don't know, but
all right,
that's
let's
the
hear a little bit
song.
More. Maybe you'll figure it out.
It's a good song.
It's a great song. Do you know who sings this, Carl? You know it. This is Elton John, you guys.
Oh, yeah, Elton John, right. Right.
Well, this was the first hit song with the word B-I-T-C-H in the title, which was pretty risque for 1974.
Very. It's still risque.
And I don't know about that. But
it's not a word we use. I mean, it's not a nice word.
I didn't say it was nice, but, well, I mean, you know, a lot of radio stations refused to play it.
I'm
but
sure.
Enough did. So that was a great tune. All right, let's try one more. You got it. You know what you're talking about. Let's try a new one. Let's try song number two. You know that one?
No, not
this is a good song.
Not a clue.
Carl, this song reminds me of you.
Really? Mm-hmm. The last one reminded me of you.
Aren't you great? I thought you were turning over a new leaf.
I am going to turn over
a new
leaf.
We're going to talk about that.
I'm going to turn over a new leaf, James. There's going to be an epiphany. I had an epiphany, and I'm going to talk about it on the air in a little while.
Okay, we'll get to it. Anyways, anybody, or should we play a little bit more?
It sounds familiar, but.
All right, let's hear it. It's David Bowie.
Yeah, Rebel Rebel.
That's it. Rebel Rebel. So this song is about a boy who rebels against his parents by wearing makeup and women's clothing, you know, kind of like Carl. That's why it reminds me of you, Rebel Rebel. James, you are the big winner. You are a big winner. You've won a Lumel Nottis gift certificate for $25. Lumel Nottis is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza, our favorite here at WGN Radio Theater. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online right to WGN Radio Theater at 11 p.m. on a Sunday, or you can order online at lumelnaddies.com. Thank you so much for playing.
Thanks, James.
For being caller four.
Thank you so much. You know, Carol said he had an epiphany. I thought it was a Corvette.
Yeah, I did have a Corvette, but my epiphany is I've decided I'm going to start being nice. I've decided, you know what? 56 years of age, I'm gonna start being nicer.
Who are you going to be nicer to?
I mean, I think I'm a nice person, but I could be nicer.
I'm pretty sure that I would fall into the category of people you could be nicer to.
Could I be nicer?
I'm going to have to look up the definition of nicer in the dictionary.
You know what I'm saying, James? I just had an epiphany today. I'm like, you know what? I feel like I'm nice to people, but I can be nicer.
Well,
and I'm going to be nicer.
You've said some things to me just this evening that weren't terribly nice.
What? Like
I'm
what?
Not going to repeat it.
But it's I was joking.
Were you?
That's
you know, that was kind of half joking.
What's that, Roger?
People have to know that you're joking.
It's probably better if you talk into the microphone.
People have to know that you're joking.
We're going
to
teach Roger a few things about broadcasting during the commercial.
All right, so that's my epiphany.
All right, well, you work on that, Carl. I'll believe it when I see it.
I'm
going to
be nice. You're going to notice that I'm nicer.
I don't believe it.
Everybody.
I'll believe it when I see it.
You're going to see it.
You know
you're going to see a definite change.
Here's what I would say. Words are cheap.
It's true.
Talk is cheap.
It's all in the pudding. The proof is in the pudding. You're going to have some pudding. You're going to have chocolate pudding.
I don't like pudding.
Right.
It's too cream mushy.
Okay, you're going to see how much nicer I'm
going to be. All right. Terrific.
All right, but now it's time.
Hold my breath.
For the Great Gildersleeve. I love this series, comedy series. Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve was a character on Fibber McGee and Molly, and it originated with Hal Perry. He was the guy who played that character on Fibber McGee and Molly. So popular was Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve that they spun it off. And it became the first spinoff in any medium. It was the first spinoff series. And the spinoff series was called The Great Gildersleeve. And that happened August 31st, 1941. It was sponsored by Kraft. And Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve moved from Wistful Vista, which is where he, you know, on Fibber McGee and Molly, to the town of Summerfield and became the town water commissioner. And he was a very eligible bachelor, raising his orphaned niece and nephew, Leroy and Marjorie. And there was a cook by the name of Bertie, and just a fun show. It was really the first show of a single parent raising children on radio or TV or anything. A little bit later in the run, it was very popular, but Harold Perry left the series in 1950, and a new actor came in to play Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve. His name, Willard Waterman. The voices were almost identical. You're going to hear Willard Waterman now in a very touching Halloween show from October 31st, 1951. Here's part one of The Great Gildersleeve.
The Kraft Foods Company presents Willard Waterman as The Great Gildersleeve. Great Gildersleeve is brought to you, partially transcribed, by the Kraft Foods Company. Well, there's a nip in the air this morning. The shocks of yellowing corn are frosty in the fields. The pumpkins have been harvested and given faces with toothy grins, for it's Halloween. In the schools, the children are fidgeting at their desks with impish gleams in their eyes, waiting for darkness to fall. In Floyd's barbershop, the great Gildersleeve is getting himself a Halloween haircut.
Careful with the scissors, Floyd.
I'm watching, Commish.
Floyd, what'll we jolly boys do tonight?
You don't hold your head still, the rest of us might be attending a wake.
Well, it's Halloween. We should do something special.
You mean you ain't booked for tonight?
What do you mean by that?
Well, since that classy Mrs. Winthrop come to town, you ain't had time for us jolly boys.
Yeah, Floyd, you know the club comes first with me.
Gee, I thought sure you'd be stepping out.
Well, she's busy. Yeah, I mean, she's going to a shindig at the country club.
Ah, and you ain't invited, huh? You mean all my tonsorial skill has went for no avail?
Well, I'm afraid so, Floyd. We fellas should be able to cook up something.
Well, we can come down to the club and sing.
We'll be minus our bass. Police Chief Gates has to be on duty tonight to keep an eye on the kids.
Yeah. When we was kids, we used to give our constable a bad time.
Yeah, I guess we all did.
I remember one Halloween we soaped the windshield of his old Model T and dared him to catch us.
You were asking for it, Floyd.
Nah, we had an ace up our sleeve. He jumped in the car and took off, but we had his rear axle chained to a fire hydrant.
Oh, my goodness.
You should be glad you wasn't the water commissioner that night. Well, there you are, Commish. You want to look at yourself in the mirror or just go out happy?
It looks fine. You know, Floyd, I have an idea.
No kidding.
Why don't we jolly boys throw a party for the kids tonight? They'll enjoy it, and we'll help keep them out of mischief.
Oh, let them live, Commish.
Now, Floyd, a lot of communities do things like this. We can stock the club with apples, noisemakers, candy, and games.
Well, I suppose the kids will have fun, and we'll be doing Chief Gates a good turn.
You bet. We'll notify the judge and Peavy, and everybody will have a great time. We'll take some money out of the treasury and buy prizes for the best costumes.
Hey, you can wrap some vines around your neck and win a prize. You got a head like a pumpkin.
Boy.
You're only kidding, Commish.
It's going to be quite a night. All the jolly boys went for my idea. I don't know what they do without me.
Meow.
It's only 5 o'clock. Hardly dusk yet. Are the black cats out already?
Meow.
Yeah, but that's Leroy behind the hedge. I'll sneak around the other side and take him by surprise. Kids can't wait until dark to scare somebody. Well, I'll turn the tables on him.
Boo!
Yipe! Leroy!
Hi, Unc. Sorry I come and thought I'd scare you.
Well, you didn't. What are you doing with those batteries behind the hedge?
I got an electric wire running to the front doorknob, but it isn't working.
Oh? What's it supposed to do?
Well, it's a neat trick for tonight. I wire it to somebody's doorknob, then ring the bell and run. When they open the door, they get a shock.
Leroy, come in the house.
Oh, Unc, what for?
Well, I have a much better idea about how you should spend your evening.
Yeah?
Step inside, my boy. Oh!
Hey, now it's working!
Leroy! It's tricks like this I want to talk to you about.
Sorry, Unc.
Well, I'll overlook it this time. Leroy, rather than go running all over town tonight, how would you like to come up to the Jolly Boys Club to a party?
A party?
Yep. We're throwing a party for all the kids. The judge, Peavy, and Floyd. We've all chipped in to buy apples and candy and soda pop. All you can eat, and you may win a prize.
Gee, that's keen. Can I play that corny piano, Unc?
Sure. Anything you want to do, Leroy. It's kids' night tonight.
Oh, boy. If I'm going to the Jolly Boys, I'm going to take a bath.
He wants to take a bath? This is a better idea than I thought.
Hello, Unky.
Hello, Marjorie.
What's Leroy so excited about?
Well, the Jolly Boys decided to entertain the kiddies this evening.
Oh?
Show them a good time and keep them out of trouble.
Oh, that sounds like a wonderful idea.
Mine.
Unky, Mrs. Winthrop phoned a little while ago.
She did?
Mm-hmm. She's at the country club and wants you to call her there.
Well, I'll call her right away.
Unky, what if she invites you out there tonight?
Well, that'd be a little awkward. The Jolly Boy... Hello? Will you page Mrs. Winthrop, please? Thank you. Yeah, I wonder if she does want me to join her party. Well, she's too late. I just have to tell her I have other commitments. Just her hard luck. Hello, Paula. This is Throckmorton. Is that Halloween dinner dance? Thanks for inviting me, but... Well, it's like this, Paula. I'll be there.
Shh,
Marjorie. What's that, Paula? Oh, no. I was going to the Jolly Boys Club, but they'll understand. See you around 8-ish. Goodbye.
What a woman.
Uncle Mort, I know you'd rather be with Mrs. Winthrop, but what about your party?
Yeah, Marjorie, the party will go along just the same. I've arranged everything. Jolly Boys will have fun. The kids will have fun. I'm the only one who'll be missing out.
All right, Unky.
Sure. I'll run down to Peavy's and explain that I'm needed elsewhere. After all, I've made my contribution. I sparked the idea. Yo! Yes! Leroy, disconnect the doorknob! Hello, Peavy.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. What can I do for you?
Peavy, about the Jolly Boys party tonight.
Well, I'm ready for it. I'm here to tell you.
Yes, well,
look at this box of favors I have for the kids. False faces, noisemakers.
Nice.
Horns. Just listen to this.
Oh, you'll have a lot of fun, Peavy.
Oh, I'm sure we will.
Greetings, gentlemen.
Well, hello, Jack.
Hello, Horace.
Gildy, I saw you come in. I want to find out what costume you're wearing to our party tonight.
Your costume?
Is the water commissioner coming as a big fat mermaid?
Well, Judge, I was about to tell Peavy.
I thought I'd fool everybody and come as a witch.
A witch, Peavy?
Yes, but Mrs. Peavy is using the broom this evening. Her garden club is having a party, too.
Well, whatever we wear, we'll all have a wonderful time. Gildy, you did a splendid thing when you suggested our little party. I congratulate you.
Mr. Gildersleeve's all right.
Well, thank you, fellows. But, as I've been trying to say, I hope you'll all have a good time. Unfortunately, I won't be able to attend.
How's that?
What's the trouble, Gildy?
No trouble, Judge. And I'm sure you men will understand the situation when I explain.
Well, start explaining.
Well, there's nothing I have to apologize for, Peavy. I've done my duty to the Jolly Boys party. I got it rolling. I'm sending food and favors. If I have to miss the party, it's my loss.
Well, stop beating around the bush and tell us.
Gildy, could it be that you've made a date with Mrs. Winthrop?
No, Judge. Well, actually, she made it with me.
Oh, fiddlesticks.
She did, Peavy. She phoned and asked me to join her for the dance. I'm sorry, fellows. Well, got to run. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Peavy, aren't you going to say goodbye to me?
I'm not going to say anything to you, turncoat.
Fellows, I can't go to both parties. Can I help it if I'm wanted in two places at once? It just happens that I'm popular.
Well, now, I would not say that.
All right, that's the first portion of The Great Gildersleeve from Halloween, October 31st, 1951. Willard Waterman as Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve. We'll get back to it in just a few minutes. So somebody texted in, Lisa, and said, if I'm nicer, I won't be me. What?
If Carl was nicer, he wouldn't be Carl.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but he's right.
I think he he is right, but I'm going to be nicer.
You're going to be?
I'm going to be. I grew up in Chicago.
You're going to improve your speech pattern and be nicer. That's a tall order.
I am going to speak better.
I could do better.
Speak more well.
I could do better.
I'm going to speak more well. And I'm
going to be
a nicer person to people. I mean,
what about to me?
Don't you think that everybody could be a little nicer?
Most people can.
Right?
Most people, especially you.
You know? I mean, I think it's, we should be.
What are you going to do that's nicer?
I'm just going to go out of my way and just be nicer. And
in terms of me, I meant, let's be specific.
Well, I'm nice to you.
Most of the time. But,
I'm
always
nice to you.
You got a few little digs here and there. That's
don't
okay.
I pick you up and drive you here every Saturday and Sunday night?
You
drive
do.
You home? Don't I always bring you something? I mean,
no.
Didn't today. I
no,
didn't
you
tonight.
Don't always bring
don't
me
I
something.
Don't I always bring you something?
No.
Generally always.
No.
Don't I almost always
no.
bring you something?
No, I generally almost
bring,
always
like,
bring something for you.
To drink or
tonight,
something.
I brought you an apple picking apple.
Well, nobody is saying you're not nice.
Oh, okay.
You're very nice.
Okay. Most of the time.
All right. When we get back from the news, it's the conclusion to The Great Gildersleeve. After that, it's Obsession, Good Mystery. We're celebrating Halloween all October, so make sure you're with us every Saturday and Sunday night beginning at 11. It's 11:34. We are listening to a Halloween episode of The Great Gildersleeve, one of the longest, funniest classic radio comedy shows from the golden age of radio. In the supporting cast, you have Walter Tetley. Now, Walter Tetley was the voice of Leroy on The Great Gildersleeve. He was also Julius Abruzzo on the Phil Harris and Alice Faye show. And he was on that show. Remember the cartoon Mr. Peabody?
I do.
He was the friend. What was his name again? There was Mr. Peabody. And I can't remember the there was a little dog. The
yep.
dog was Mr. Peabody.
I remember the dog.
And then
and
there was
the guy.
Yeah, the guy. That was Walter Tetley did
oh,
that voice.
Yeah, that was
I can't remember now. But
somebody
also
will text in and let us know.
I'm sure Sherman or something like
Sherman.
That.
Yeah, I think
was
that's
it Sherman?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you have Mary Lee Robb, who was playing Marjorie on this show. Lillian Randolph is Birdie. And Earl Ross is Mr. Peavy. So great cast. And those were the same actors throughout the whole run. They just used those same actors. The only actor that really changed on Gildersleeve was the lead, Hal Perry, mm-hmm. when he left to star in a different series. They brought in Willard Waterman. Let's go back now for the conclusion to The Great Gildersleeve.
Hi, George, it's 8 o'clock. I'm doing Paula's party right now. You wonder why it's always so hard to get a collar buttoned in. Oop, you dropped it. Now where'd it go? You must roll into the dresser.
Uncle Mort?
Yes, Marjorie?
Bronco and I are leaving now.
You all right, my dear? You wish I was.
Unky, don't forget to lock the garage door.
Yeah, I won't. Everybody's off to their parties but me. You had to leave everything for me to do. Here's my collar button. What happened to it? Oh, it's a dime. Doorbell, Bertie!
I did it!
Confusion. Yeah, here it is. Dizzy. Good thing I have one of those snap-on bow ties. I can fix it on the way down to the car. Where's my coat? Why can't I get my arm through this sleeve? My coat's not that tight. Yofer. Bertie!
Daddy!
Bertie, who sewed my sleeves together?
Sleeves sewn together? Oh, so that's why Leroy wanted my needle and thread.
You're not. Coat sleeves. What a boy.
I'll rip it out, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Thanks, Bertie. Who was at the door?
Another trick-or-treater. Good thing you stocked up with treats.
Well, Halloween's for the youngsters, Bertie.
Yes, sir, and they're sure having fun tonight. Bert is giving handouts to spooks, black cats, skeletons, and to one boy dressed like a gorilla. I hope that was a boy dressed like a gorilla.
Yeah, chances are it was, Bertie.
Yes, sir. Mr. Gildersleeve, I have to get the scissors for this job.
Well, please hurry, Bertie. I'm late for a very important date.
Yes.
I did it!
Never mind, Bertie. You get the scissors, I'll get the door. Hope the candy holds out. Well. Hello.
Hello.
You're the smallest ghost we've seen. Why'd you bother to ring the bell? Why didn't you just come in under the door?
I'm lost.
Lost? Oh, my goodness. You're awfully small to be out alone, aren't you?
I wasn't alone when I started, but I couldn't keep up.
Well, I guess it would be pretty hard to get around in that flour sack. What's your name, little boy?
Mike.
Mike who?
Mike Smith.
You, Smith. Well, there are a lot of those.
Here you come, Miss Gillsleeve.
Oh, who's that little fella?
A little lost ghost, Bertie.
Lost?
Yeah.
How'd you get lost, honey?
They ran away from me.
He couldn't keep up with the other kids, Bertie. Yeah, I wonder if I could find them.
Oh, Mr. Gilsey, you run on to your party. They'll come looking for him.
Yeah, I guess so. What if they don't?
I'll call you at the country club, and I'll call the police.
Well.
Gosh.
Oh, Mr. Gilsey, be scared. Look at the little fella grab you round the legs.
Huh? Don't you run away from me, too?
No, Mike, you don't need me. You, Bertie will take good care of you until your friends come back. If they don't find you, the police chief is a pal of mine. He'll get you home. You see, I have a date. You understand, don't you, Mike? Hmm? Oh, the date can wait.
Earlier this morning, the great Gildersleeve didn't know how he was going to spend Halloween, so he promoted a party at the Jolly Boys Club. But he ducked out on that when he had a chance to have a date with the attractive Mrs. Winthrop. Then a little lost boy attached himself to the water commissioner.
Now, Mike, how long had you been lost from your little friends when you stopped in here to trick or treat?
I don't know.
Well, we call all the Smiths in the telephone directory. You don't belong to any of them. What's your father's first name?
I don't know.
What's your mother's name?
Mama.
Zee.
How do you make out, Miss Gillsleeve?
Yeah, I haven't learned much, Bertie.
What street you live on, baby?
I'm not a baby.
Watch it, Bertie.
Oh, excuse me. Where do you live, Mr. Mike?
He doesn't know, Bertie.
Well, I've only lived there a little while. I want to go home.
Well, we're trying to get you there, Mike.
Hi, Unc. What's going on?
You, Leroy. This is Mike.
Hi.
Hello.
Mike was out for tricks or treats and got lost, Leroy.
Yeah?
Poor little fella.
He doesn't know where he lives.
What are we going to do with him? Raise him?
Yeah, we'll find out where he belongs.
How?
I don't know.
Well, I know. I'll call the police station.
I haven't done anything. I'm just lost.
Leroy, I called the chief half an hour ago. Nobody's reported a missing boy.
Maybe he's a girl.
I am not.
Careful. Little ghost has a temper. Leroy, why aren't you down at the Jolly Boys Club with the other kids?
Since you weren't going, I decided to go to Piggy's. I just came home to get my electric doorknob buzzer.
Ew, that.
Mr. Gilsey, why don't you take Mike down to the Jolly Boys Club? Maybe his crowd dropped in down there.
Not a bad idea, Bertie. Practically every kid in the neighborhood will be there. Somebody will know who he is.
I know who I am. Where do I live?
Right. I'm doing the best I can. You wait till I get my hat out of the coat closet. Yikes! Leroy! Well, here we are, Mike. That's the Jolly Boys Club right upstairs there where you see the light.
Is that a big bat in the window?
No, that's Judge Hooker. There'll be a lot of kiddies up there. I'm sure some of them will know you.
Mister, you're a nice man to help find me.
Yeah, I'm glad to do it, Mike. And after we get you home, maybe you can help me sometime.
Do you get lost?
Well, I'm afraid I've lost out with my girl. Yeah, let me help you up on my shoulders.
Whee!
Yeah, that's it. I'll take you up the stairs piggyback.
Boy, this is fun.
Yeah, you bet. Say, I don't hear any noise up there. Wonder what they're doing.
Well, gang, look who's here. The big idea man himself.
Hello, Floyd. Peavy. Judge.
Gildy, I thought you had a date.
Well, Judge, I called it off. I thought I'd better bring this little fellow up to the party.
Time somebody came.
Hello, young man.
Hi, pal.
Hello.
You are all the kids.
They aren't here.
A few straggled up for candy and stuff.
Yeah, but we sang them a couple of songs and they left.
Well, I thought the place would be jumping.
You sure thought up a dud, Commish.
Now, Floyd.
Mr. Gildersleeve, do you know what I think of your idea?
What's this, Peavy? Now, fellows, the party was a good idea. But I guess I just thought of it too late.
And I went to all this trouble to look like a bat.
You didn't have to go to much trouble.
Floyd?
Well, let's give Mr. Gildersleeve's little friend an apple and a noisemaker, and then I'll go home.
You wait a minute. This little fellow is lost.
Lost?
You don't say.
Yeah, I was hoping there'd be some children here who'd recognize him. His name's Mike.
Mike who?
Mike Smith.
Yeah, Smith.
You're lost, huh, Mike?
Yeah, lost.
Where do you live?
I keep saying I don't know, and I don't.
Well, he's new in town, Floyd. He came to my door just as I was leaving.
Oh, broke up your date, huh? Well, it serves you right for two-timing us jolly boys.
Now, Floyd, Gildy's trying to do the right thing.
Well,
are you hungry, Mike?
I guess so.
Well, here, have an apple.
Thanks.
And you can fill your pockets with candy.
Thanks.
Be polite, little fellow.
What are you going to do with him, Commish?
Yeah, I don't know. His family isn't listed in the phone book.
Why don't you take the boy at the police station, Gildy?
Gosh.
Judge, the police station ain't no place for a nice little gent like Mike.
I checked with the chief fellows. Nobody's inquired about a little boy.
Well, it's too early for him to be missed. The kids won't be through soaping windows till about 10 o'clock.
Soaping windows isn't nice.
That's right, Mike.
Well, gee whiz, somebody come up with something. What'll we do with him?
I want to go home.
Okay.
We can take him to my house until we find out where his family is.
Well, let's take him to my house. It's closer.
I want
to
go home.
You fellas, he rang my doorbell. We take him any place, we'll take him back to my house.
Well, while you're hashing that out, I'll put on a mask and amuse you, boy. Mike, look. How do you like that, Mike?
I want to go home.
Well, that sounds pretty funny.
Gentlemen, I suggest we take the boy back to Gildy's and conduct the search from there.
Well, let's go. We have to figure out something. Yeah, I'll get it.
Yeah, maybe it's Chief Gates.
Hello? Yes, Chief.
It is the police department.
Be quiet, Judge. You ask that, Chief? Yeah, the little fellow's here. You have? Great. You ask that? 875 Adams Avenue. We'll take him right over and see if he's the boy. Yeah, thanks, Chief. Goodbye.
Buck up, kid. Looks like you're home free.
Well, Mike, the chances are you belong at 875 Adams Avenue.
You think I do?
No doubt about it. Come on now, I'll take you home.
I'm going along, too.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I'm not going to stay here all by myself.
Say, Commish, what are we going to do with all this Halloween stuff? We got a barrel of it.
That's right. We shouldn't leave it here.
Well, throw it in the car, fellows. We'll divide it later.
Okay.
Your family will be happy to see you, Mike. Do you have any little brothers or sisters?
I don't think so.
What does your father do?
I don't know.
Mike's pretty close-mouthed. He ain't telling nothing.
I don't know nothing to tell.
Well, we'll soon find out something. Come on, man. Pick up the stuff and let's go. I'm sorry the party didn't work out, fellows. I guess we can call it a good Halloween if we get Mike home.
Yeah, it's no fun being lost when you're hardly big enough to find.
Judge, move over a little.
Oh, sorry if I'm crowding you, Gilda.
It isn't that. You're sitting on the marshmallows.
Is that it? I thought your cushions were unusually soft.
What the heck? We got more candy than we know what to do with.
Well, here's Adams Avenue. Isn't this exciting?
If it turns out to be Mike's house, I'm going to blow my horn again.
Does this street look familiar, Mike? Mike?
I believe he's fallen asleep.
He has? Oh, isn't that a picture?
Hey, Pete, let me hold him, will you?
I'm afraid he'll wake up, Floyd. Look, he's got his arm around my neck.
Look for numbers, fellas.
There's 875, right on the corner.
Are you sure that's 875? That's the children's home.
The children's home? No kidding.
Yes, it is, Bud.
Well, let's not just sit here and look at each other. Better see if this is where Mike lives. You wake up the little fellow, Petey.
Yeah, well. Mike. Mikey boy.
Do you know where you are, Mike?
Am I home?
We think so, my boy.
Mike, do you recognize this house?
Yeah, sure. That's where I live.
Mike, why didn't you tell us you lived with a lot of other little boys and girls?
Nobody asked me.
By George, we didn't.
Never occurred to me.
Can I go in now?
Yeah, of course, Mike. Yeah, I'll take you up to the door.
Okay.
We'd better wait here in the car, Gilda.
All right, Judge. Mike, there's a jack-o'-lantern in the window. Must be having a little party.
Yeah, but they don't have very much.
They don't. Well, by George, they're going to. Judge, Petey, Floyd, unload the car.
Hey, that's a great idea.
And bring the candy and noisemakers. Bring everything.
Help me with these boxes, Petey.
Gosh, mister, you really mean it?
You bet. This is going to be the best Halloween we've ever had. Good night, Mike.
Good night, Mr. Gildersleeve. And thanks for the party.
You don't mention it, my boy. We had a wonderful time.
So did we. Mr. Gildersleeve?
Yes, Mike.
I want to tell you something.
You do?
If I ever have a father, I hope he's just like you.
Thank you, Mike. Bless you, my boy. Good night, folks.
The Great Gildersleeve is played by Willard Waterman. The show is written by John Elliott and Andy White and is partially transcribed. Included in the cast are Walter Tetley, Mary Lee Robb, Lillian Randolph, Earl Ross, Arthur Q. Bryan, Tommy Reddick, and Dick LeGrand. Musical composition by Jack Meekin. This is John Heaston saying goodnight for the Kraft Foods Company, makers of those famous Kraft quality foods. Be sure to listen in next Wednesday and every Wednesday for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve. Groucho Marx, you bet your life, he's next on NBC.
That's The Great Gildersleeve, Halloween, October 31st, 1951. Willard Waterman as Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, sponsored by Kraft, as heard on NBC. We hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a break, and then it's more of the WGN Radio Theater. You know what, Lisa? I have lots and lots of classic radio shows, over 100,000 classic radio shows licensed from the rights holders, but I'm always getting new shows, and one that we have in our next hour is called Obsession. We've never played one. I just acquired all 70, I think it's 75 episodes of Obsession, so we're going to play one for you. But I just also, from CBS, because they're my largest licensor, they just sent me 5 episodes of Broadway Is My Beat that are from the very first season that have Anthony Ross starring as Detective Danny Clover. All of the Broadway Is My Beat shows that we've aired on WGN Radio Theater have had Larry Thor as Detective Danny Glover, because it started in New York with Anthony Ross, and then they moved the series after like a month and a half or 2 months. They moved it to L.A., had a whole new cast. It was all L.A. actors. So Anthony Ross only played that part for a few episodes. I just got those episodes. I didn't think they existed. So those shows are going to appear in the Classic Radio Club. I always like to find unique and interesting episodes for the Classic Radio Club, along with the regulars like The Shadow and Suspense and Inner Sanctum, Jack Benny, Burns and Allen. So the Classic Radio Club, I always reserve those, you know, interesting, different, and really special programs. So, folks, if you are not a member of the Classic Radio Club, you should go to our website, classicradioclub.com, and check it all out, because you can get 10 shows sent to you each and every month, either via digital download or on 5 CDs, and you can cancel at any time, and they always sound amazing. Right, Lisa?
Yeah, I think it's a great combination of what, you know, the shows that you know and love and look forward to, and some hidden gems that you may not be familiar with, sort of opens, you know, a whole new world for you.
ClassicRadioClub.com. That is the website. Check it out, ClassicRadioClub.com. It is 5 minutes after midnight. Happy Monday morning, everyone. And we are celebrating Halloween all October here on the WGN Radio Theater. We're going to have scary radio shows for you and some comedies that have to do with Halloween, like we just did with The Great Gildersleeve. In this hour, Obsession, a broadcast from 1952 called Cry Vengeance, that is coming your way in just a few minutes. But first, we're going to play our game, Cat's Pride, Guess That Song.
Yeah, we are still on 1974. I have a couple of great songs. You're going to love them. But first, we're going to need a caller. So call right now. We're going to go with caller number 2. So call right now, 312-981-7200. We'll be right back.
Guess That Song.
We've got Glenn on the phone to guess that song. Hey, Glenn.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Hi, Glenn.
Just great. How are you guys?
Terrific. Well, you are a winner already, Glenn. You have won the desktop indoor weather station. But first, we're going to have a little fun with some 1974 songs. You ready to play?
Yes.
All right. Terrific. Let's hear this first song, one of my favorites.
She keeps them always. Oh, man. I
ooh,
know that
that's
one.
A good one. You know that, Glenn?
Yes, I do.
All right, let's hear it.
What is it?
Killer Queen by Queen.
You are absolutely
wow,
right. Let's
Glenn
hear it. Good
knows
job.
His stuff.
She keeps a Moët Chandon in a pretty cabin.
Didn't you love Queen albums?
His voice is amazing.
Didn't you have Queen albums?
No, I had King albums.
Why did you do that? That's not funny. Queen's fantastic.
Man, what a voice, huh?
What a song.
She's a killer queen.
Stop right there. That's fantastic. And I didn't give you much to go on. All right, the second song is fantastic as well.
Well, do you have any trivia about that
song?
Oh,
I do.
Okay.
So this was the band's first major breakthrough on the worldwide singles chart, even though it was taken from their third album. So it took them a little time
really?
To get going.
I didn't realize that.
And that's why you've got me here.
Wow, Miss
Trivia. To
educate trivia.
You, absolutely.
Music trivia.
That's me, Miss Music, amongst other things. All right, let's. You ready for song two, Glenn?
Yes,
this is
a,
this is great. Okay, let's do it.
Heading up to San.
I have no idea.
Oh, come on, Carl.
See, those kind of songs I never listen to.
What are you
to.
Talking about?
Okay. It's like a ballad,
Glenn,
you know.
Glenn,
it's like
help.
A,
Glenn.
It's probably like a love song or
Glenn,
something.
Glenn, help him out.
Right?
Jimmy Buffett, Come Monday.
Thank you. Ding, 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 ding. Let's play it.
Glenn
knows
his stuff, man.
To San Francisco.
See, this is not my kind of music.
You don't love Jimmy Buffett? Oh, come on.
Actually, you know what I do like?
No, let's...
A nice buffet.
Listen, just let it go for a second.
In fact...
In fact, I saw the Jimmy Buffett show when he was here in Chicago this year and met Jimmy Buffett.
You know what, Glenn? I've never pushed away
come
from a buffet.
Monday, it'll be all right. Don't you know this? No. Here's my favorite line right here.
I don't know this song at
Listen.
All.
I got four lonely days in a lonely haze. You don't know this?
Nope.
Oh, my gosh. Well, he wrote this song for his wife, who he was missing while on tour. Oh, thank you, Glenn.
How
for,
sweet.
For validating me and my song choices. You've won the
Glenn
desktop.
Glenn knows his stuff. Are you, like, in
who
the music business, Glenn?
Jimmy Buffett, Glenn.
No, I'm a truck driver, so I listen to the radio.
You listen to a lot
there
of radio.
Go.
Well.
And 1974, that's the best. I mean, to me, the 70s was the best.
Man.
So you have won the desktop indoor weather station. I love my weather station. It's brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Visit AmericanWeathermakers.com. Thank you, Glenn. It was great to hear from you.
Way to go, Glenn.
Right. Take care.
He knows his stuff. Hey, folks, we have a text in line. It is 312-981-7200.
And I am reading all of your texts, and I get back to most everybody. So I just want you to know,
like,
I read it, I appreciate it, and I love hearing
from
you
guys. How many wonders
are
there? There's seven wonders
of
the world? Okay, she's like the eighth wonder of the world. Her fingers, you should see when she's texting how fast her fingers move.
You know what? I feel like if I texted in, I would appreciate getting an answer.
Of
I don't
course.
Know, it's nice
well, that's
to
the
hear
whole thing
me.
About being nicer to people.
See,
being
now,
nice, see?
I don't think that you are quite there
nice.
Yet. You're working on
seriously,
it,
folks, you
it.
Should see her fingers how fast they text. It's unbelievable.
Well, it's not exactly a text. I've got a keyboard, but it's close.
Speed fast.
I'm not
texter.
Texting. I'm not texting.
Well, anyway, that's our text in line. All right, you ready for Obsession?
I am. I've been waiting for this all week.
Mystery thriller came to radio in 1950, lasted until 1952. It starred many of Los Angeles' finest movie and radio actors. I'll give you some of the names that were in these 78 episodes that they produced. Vincent Price,
yep.
Elliot Lewis, Barry Sullivan, Tom Conway, William Gargan, Benita Granville, Miriam Hopkins. I mean, there are some good names. And like Suspense and Escape, each 30-minute episode kept us on the edge of our seat. It was produced by C.P. McGregor and syndicated to radio stations across the nation. In Chicago, it was heard on WBBM. I think there's some WBBM kind of logo at the end. Mm-hmm. You may hear that. A total of 78 episodes, and we're going to play an episode for you now called Cry Vengeance from May 5th, 1952. Barton Yarborough stars in this. Part one now of Obsession.
Obsession. Fiction writers have long been seeking that plot which is known as the perfect crime. But like the elusive will of the wisp, it is always just beyond reach. Murder will out, say the wise ones. And the pursuer is often that shadowy ghost known as conscience. In a moment, you'll hear such a case in the story of Cry Vengeance, starring Barton Yarborough and Michael Raffetto. A tale told in the Belgian Congo of violence, death, and greed, which brought two men to a stern justice. True men trapped in the pitfall of their own obsession. The Belgian Congo is a vast place where strangeness is as commonplace as the predatory animals which roam the jungles. It is a place also of loneliness and where isolation is a thing of necessity, not of choice. On a back trail, two men ride toward a destination charted on a map of greed. Their names, Harris and Pitkin. And their plans are as dark as the blackness of their own obsession.
Yeah, but how can we be sure that Koenig has got any money?
Why, must have. Stands to reason, don't it? It's a
lived out there on that farm for years. He must have some money, and he's never spent any.
Well, what do you mean? He's kind of a miser?
Yeah, that's it. Too stingy to even have any help on the place. He's all by himself. That's why it's going to be easy. The nearest farm to him is that place we passed 8 or 9 kilometers back.
Well, I guess they won't hear him holler then, anyhow.
Not a chance. Why, they probably won't even find him. Nobody ever comes along here.
Hey. Ain't that it? Right over there?
Hmm? Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Well, now, just how are you going to go about this now?
Well, we've got to stall a little and see if we can find out where he's got his money, see? Mm-hmm. We'll ride up and ask him if we can stay for supper and offer to pay him. Then we'll keep an eye on what he does with the money we give him. That might give us an idea where the rest of it's hid.
Mm-hmm.
If that don't work, why, I'll try to draw him out a little. So, don't be too anxious with that revolver.
Hey, wait a minute. I thought you was going to do the killing.
Well, all right. I'd just as leave as not. Only, if I'm going to do the talking, somebody else has got to do the dirty work, don't they? I can't do both.
All right. I'll do it. But listen, how am I going to know when?
Huh? Oh. Well, let's see. I'll tell you. After I found out all I can find out, I'll say to you, it seems to be a little bit cooler this evening. And then you let him have it in the back.
Okay. I'll be listening for you to say it.
Let's see. We ought to be able to get started again just after dark. By morning, we'll be in Portuguese territory and safe. And we'll be in Luanda and on a boat before they ever find him. Maybe they'll never find him, huh? Oh. The house is back in that clump of trees there.
Mm. Yeah, I see the smoke from the chimney.
The old boy must be getting supper. We're just in time. We better tie the horses outside the gate here.
Yeah. Whoa.
Well, are you coming?
Yeah, wait a second, will you?
Well, come on. And close the gate. Hello in there. Hello.
Yeah. Maybe he ain't there.
Oh, he's there, all right. Come on, we'll go up to the door.
Hello, who is it?
Mr. Koenig?
Yeah, I'm Koenig.
Why, my name's Clark, Mr. Koenig, and this is Mr. Anderson here.
I see.
They told us we might be able to get some supper here.
Oh, yeah, sure. Just I'm getting ready to eat. Come right on in.
Oh, fine. Come on, Anderson.
I'm just putting supper on the table.
Well, of course, we want to pay you for what we eat, you know.
Oh, never mind about it. You're very welcome. I put on some extra plates and then...
Oh, no. We always pay our way, Mr. Koenig. Sort of a principle with us. Anderson?
Sure. Yeah, will this cover it?
Oh, no. No, I couldn't take it. I haven't much of a supper, but what it is, you are
no,
welcome
No, no,
to...
no, that's out. Yeah, you take this.
Sure. Go ahead now. We'll feel better about it, you know.
If that's the way you feel, well, danke schön. Just pull up some chairs there. I put out some things right away.
Yeah, pull up the chair, will you?
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm tired. Hey, look. Look in that coffee tin behind the stove.
Yeah, I see. Well, that soup certainly smells good, Mr. Koenig.
Yeah, we're kind of hungry.
You boys been riding a long ways today? Ach, Donnerwetter, that soup bowl is hot. Here's some plates.
Yes, we've come quite a ways today.
Now, just help yourself.
Yeah, well, just leave that to me.
Mr. Koenig, we're thinking of taking up some land around here. How is it for farming? Can a fella make any money?
Little maybe.
Well, that's not so bad if he can save it, huh? In the course of 5 or 10 years, the man ought to be able to lay away a nice little nest egg, shouldn't he?
Well, I don't know. If things go well, why, yes.
I see. Well, tell me, how have things been going with you?
Oh, so.
Must be kind of lonesome out here, though. No friends or...
Oh, I have lots of friends.
Who?
The animals. My horses and cows and chickens and then there's the birds and the...
I see. Well, then you must be pretty fond of animals, eh?
Oh, yeah. Do you know, but sometimes I think I can almost understand them, know just what they are thinking, and they know just what I am thinking. I never hurt an animal in my life, and no animal would ever hurt me.
Yeah, they wouldn't, huh?
No, sir. They are all my friends, even the wild animals. Why, one time a leopard broke into my chicken pen and I walked right out there without even a club. I don't even keep a firearm in the house.
Oh.
And I just spoke to him nice and told him to go away. And he did. Why, I bet even a lion, if I saw one, wouldn't hurt me. All animals is my friends.
Well, that makes it nice.
They would all protect me.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, must get pretty hot here.
Oh, yeah. At this time of the year, it is warm.
Mm-hmm. But it seems a little bit cooler this evening.
Never knew what hit him. So I hope nobody heard the shot.
There's nobody around here who could hear it. What's the matter with you?
It sounded louder than I thought it would.
That's because it was in a closed room. Well, let's see what's in that tin.
Mm-hmm. Is it there?
Yeah. You're all right. I don't know how much. We can count it later, though.
That suits me. I ain't so keen about hanging around here.
All right. And come on.
Just about how long do you suppose we was in there?
5, maybe 10. No more than 10 minutes. What?
Seems to me it got dark awful fast. Wait a minute. I'll open it. Seems like it's been a year. Bitkin!
Huh? Now, what's the...
Look, the horses. They're gone.
Wait a minute. What? Why... Why, look. This board, you tied him to, is busted off. Say, what do you...
I bet you they heard that shot. I told you it sounded loud. What are we going to do? We got to have horses. We can't cover that distance on foot.
Wait a minute, will you? Don't get excited.
Yeah.
The old man must have horses. Why, sure, don't you know? He said he did. Come on.
Wait a minute. Listen, there's somebody coming up the road.
Oh, there's no...
Listen, I tell you, there is.
Well, whoever it is will ride by. Nothing to get excited about. Come on. Duck into the bush.
Say, is that chicken squawking? Why, it is, sure enough. Must be something in old man Koenig's chicken run. Oh. I'd hate to see him lose all his chickens. Let's ride in and tell him.
Hey, Koenig. Hey, Koenig. Oh, Koenig.
Good Lord, they'll find them.
Well, what if they do? They're not going to get us. Well, we'll be aboard ship by this time.
We can't get over the line into Portuguese territory without horses. We can't go on foot. It'd take days.
Don't worry. We're going to have horses.
Yeah, well, how do you mean?
We're going to take their horses when they come out. There's only two of them, and there's two of us. And we've got a gun. Say, where is that revolver?
Why, it's right... What? What, Pitkin?
What's the matter?
I left it in there, In the house. On the table.
In the house?
Yeah.
Fine chance of holding them up and getting their horses without a gun. We'll have to go on without horses.
We can't. We can't.
We've got to now. We've got to get into Portuguese territory by morning.
All right, that's the first portion of Obsession, a broadcast from May 5th, 1952, called Cry Vengeance with Barton Yarborough and Michael Raffetto. Hope you are enjoying it. We're going to take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Well, if you want to get to know us better, and we'd love to get to know you better out there in Radio Land, come with us on our cruise, a classic radio cruise that we are going on August 1st, 2020. And it's going to Bermuda on Oceana Cruise Lines Insignia ship, right, Lisa?
Have you ever been to Oceana, Coral?
I have not. But okay. Your parents go on Oceana.
I was just going to mention that. You know,
all
my
the
parents,
time.
You know, like their luxury cruises, and they choose Oceana as their cruise line of choice because, I don't know, they think it's the best food, best entertainment, and it's beautiful. We have a brand new reimagined ship called Insignia. We're going to be on there for 7 nights, and I've never been to Bermuda either, so this is going to be all new for both of us. But apparently, there's a lot of rich history there, and there's a lot of sightseeing we can do. We're going to be in St. George and Hamilton, Bermuda, or, you know, you can just lay back, relax on the ship, enjoy a cocktail, maybe a cabana boy, maybe take a little swim.
Cabana boy.
I'm dreaming a little bit here. And we can just hang out. We're going to have some classic radio fun, some trivia contests. We're going to give away prizes. We are going to do a reenactment and have a lot of our listeners participate with us.
That'll be fun.
And it's just going to be 7 great days of relaxation or excitement and fun, however you want. You choose to do it. But Carl and I will be there, and how can anything go wrong?
We'll get to eat a lot. That's what I'm looking
too.
For. Eat a lot of great food.
Well, we have a great price. We have a great group rate. We're working with Keen Luxury Travel. We have a whole block of rooms, and we hope that you'll check it out. Consider joining us. I know there's been quite a few people that have joined us. I hope you'll check it out, too. You can call our Keen Luxury Travel at 800-856-1155.
Right, or you can go to our website, WGNRadioTheater.com, and you can click the cruise banner. But make sure you join us. Great rate, great food, great fun.
And we'll be there.
August 1st, 2020.
Oh, can't wait.
7 nights. Don't miss it. It is 12:34 here. And we're listening to Halloween programs all the way through October. When we come back here next week, Lisa,
yes,
we have a great lineup, including Inner Sanctum. Ooh, that's a scary
Somebody
one.
Somebody just asked for that, and you said, I think I had one coming up soon, and here it is.
Inner Sanctum. You know, Inner Sanctum, real quickly, Inner Sanctum was created by a man by the name of Hyman Brown. Hyman Brown, I had the great pleasure of knowing Hyman Brown, going to dinner with him many times, and he used to talk to me about Inner Sanctum. I've interviewed him many times. In fact, I should play the interview because I recorded it. But he explained that the creaking door, Inner Sanctum was known as the creaking door. You know, at the very beginning, it would open.
Yeah.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum. And then he'd close it at the end. And I asked him, what is the deal with that? He said he used to, when he was doing Dick Tracy, he was the producer of Dick Tracy, he said there were different doors, you know, that we used for different things on Dick Tracy, and there was one door that was like hanging off the hinges, right? And when they would use that door, you know, it would creak. It would make this really creaky sound. And he said, you know what? I'm going to build a radio show around that door.
Right. He's going to make the door a star.
Yeah, and make the door a star. And that's exactly what he did. They used that same door, that creaking door, for Inner Sanctum. And then years later, and that was on the air a long, long time, it was created by Hyman Brown. And then years later, he created the CBS Radio Mystery Theater with E.G. Marshall and Tammy Grimes as the hosts. And that was a great series. I think he did over 1,300 episodes. And these were hour long, and they did 5 a week, 5 hour long shows a week out of New York. And he used that same door again to open the CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
He got his money's worth out of that door.
And, you know, we get texts all the time. Hey, can you play a CBS Radio Mystery Theater? And the answer to that is no, because I do not have the rights to CBS Radio Mystery Theater. So we cannot play that. But I am working on it. I'm trying to get the rights from his estate. So we'll see. But right now,
maybe since you've turned over a new leaf and you're going to be nicer, you never know. Good things might happen.
That's right. Inner Sanctum next week. Philco Radio Time with Bing Crosby and Boris Karloff, a Halloween show. You're going to love it. And then The Sealed Book. That's Saturday. Sealed Book is a scary show. And then on Sunday, a Halloween broadcast of Life with Luigi, my mom's favorite radio show. And then The Mysterious Traveler.
It's a perfect Halloween weekend.
Yeah. All right. But right now, it's time for the conclusion to Obsession.
Yes. Murder will out, say the wise ones. As they also have said that the best laid plans of man will oftentimes go awry. And no matter how vast the jungles, there will always be the pursuers and pursued. It is the law of the jungle. It is always the unexpected that wreaks vengeance in the formula of the stern law of justice. Pitkin and Harris had planned the perfect crime. But the shot that went crashing into the brain of gentle old Koenig frightened their horses, and they broke away from their tether. Now Harris and Pitkin are attempting the perilous journey to the Portuguese territory on foot. In the jungles, the monkeys chatter, and the bright-plumaged birds fill the creeping vine-laced air with their unearthly cries. Every sound of the dank, steaming growth of untold centuries now resounds in the minds of Pitkin and Harris as two words cry vengeance. Two words that have become their obsession.
Hey, wait. Wait a minute. Wait. We're lost, I tell you. You know we are.
Oh, stop your whining. Yeah. I know where we are. We'll be inside of the river within an hour.
That's what you said this morning. It must be long past noon now. I tell you, we've been going in a circle. We'll never get out of here. We'll die here. We'll die and rot here.
Shut your mouth, will you? Come on.
What's that?
Oh, it's only a couple of monkeys up there. Will you stop wasting your breath talking?
Oh, I can't go any further. I gotta rest. I can't.
Shut up and come on.
Oh, I can't. I gotta rest. I'm not going any further until I...
Do you want to spend the night in here? Well, if you don't, you'd better get up.
It's a long time till dark. We can afford to rest a few minutes. And I'm going to. You can go on if you want to. This is only walking in circles anyhow. I'm going to stay right here.
All right. All right. 5 minutes.
Say.
What?
Koenig said animals were his friends. Well, they've certainly been friendly to him so far. If it hadn't been for animals, we wouldn't be in this fix.
What do you mean?
Our horse is running away and leaving us to go on foot. The chickens attracting the attention of those men. Yeah. You know, I wonder what started them squawking.
Oh, rubbish. We could have taken their horses if you hadn't left your revolver in the house.
Do you suppose they'll be able to find out who that revolver belonged to?
I don't know. Won't do them any good if they do find out. Nobody could track us through this jungle. But we're not as bad off as we might be. We'd had horses and gone by the road, they could have followed us easy. In the jungle here, they wouldn't have a chance. They could pass within 50 feet of us right now and not see us.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
And another thing, they'd never expect us to cut through the jungle in the first place. They'd naturally suppose we took the road. That's where they're looking for us, more than likely, if they are looking for us. By the time they find out that we're not on the road, We'll be across the river.
Yeah, if we can find the river.
Oh, we'll find it. I lost my bearings for a while this morning, but I'm all right now. We'll be at the river.
Hey, listen. Listen, did you hear that?
Keep quiet. Curse them monkeys.
Hey, Ivy!
Hey, he's coming this way.
Get out. Get down. Keep quiet.
Oh, Ivy! Hello! Is that you, Irish?
Yes, it's me.
Where's Lafarge?
He's on the hip.
I thought I heard something over here.
Good Lord, they are trailing us.
They will never get us. They haven't a chance, I tell you. They'll find us in here in a million years. We got to lay low, though, for a while. We'll get out of here before night.
We can't make our way through the jungle at night.
And we'll wait till morning. They'll soon get tired of beating through this bush. And we're safe here just as long as we...
Becken. Becken.
Dogs. They're trailing us with dogs.
Becken. Horses. Chickens. And now dogs. Oh, everything's against us. Everything.
Come on. Come on, don't be a fool. We've got to keep moving now.
Oh, what they use. We'll never reach the river.
Come on. Come on, will you?
Where are they?
Wait. Only listen a minute. They're over there to the left, I think. Come on. Come on, this way.
No, no. And there they are ahead. They're right ahead of us.
We'll double back. But they're going to throw them off.
I guess. Oh, if we could only rest just a little, this heat.
Don't talk. Don't talk. Keep moving. Come on.
And they're ahead of us, too. They got us surrounded.
This way, you fool. Don't stop. This way.
No, 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 I can't. Oh, it's no use going on. They got us. Horses, chickens, dogs, animals. Betraying us. Oh, we can't beat them. I'm going to give up.
Come on. Come on, I
say. I'm not going. I'm going to give up.
Come on. Come on, you hear me? Come on, or I'll kill you.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Kill me. I don't care. Those dogs can follow. I'm not afraid of the men. But animals. Animals. Oh, wait. I'm going to give myself up. I'm going to call him. I'm going to tell him.
Listen. You do, Harris, and I'll choke you to death with my bare hands. You hear? And I mean it. I'm going to get to the river. And I'm not going to let you or anyone else stop me. Do you hear that? And if you make a noise,
I don't care. I'm going to give up.
Harris.
I'm going to give
Harris.
Up. Here we are. Over here.
Harris. Harris.
Here we are. Here. This way. Get
the fire. The fire. Here they are. Oh! Come on, boys. I've got one of them anyhow.
Oh. Hey. Hello. Hello in there. Hey. Hello!
What's the matter?
Hey. I want to cross the river. I want a canoe. I want a canoe and a paddler.
You be run away, huh?
No, no. You're talking like a fool. Hey, listen. I want you to take me across the river. Across the river, that's all.
Bad to cross river. Bad magic.
Oh, rot.
You speak 'em, say so. All same, past all things for bad magic.
Look here. I got money. See? Plenty of it. I'll pay you anything you want. See? Here, look. Look, I'll give you all this, see?
Bad magic to cross river.
All right then. Twice this. Here. Here, take these. Here, take them, all of them. But get me across, Chief. Get me across.
You get them in canoe.
Good. I thought that'd bring you to your senses. Well, come on. Come on, get in. Get in.
All same, past all thing for bad magic.
Hey, hurry. Hurry, can't you? Hurry.
Make them go fast as can.
Hey, Lord, listen. Can't you? Can't you hurry?
Make them go fast
as... Oh, don't tell me that again. I'm sick of hearing it. Here. Give me that other paddle. I'll help you. Give me that other paddle.
No. Him canoe tip. Not stand up. Him canoe tip over.
Hey, give me a hand. Give me a hand, you fool. Help me.
Him canoe tip over.
I don't...
Does not always triumph. The courts do not always mete out the law. The blind goddess of justice will have her way in many forms, and the scales will always be in balance. Such is the case with Pitkin and Harris. Old man Koenig is avenged, and the jungles close in the fateful chapter, and no longer does it cry vengeance through the dark quarters of a guilty man's obsession. Obsession. Our story was produced and transcribed by C.P. McGregor in Hollywood.
That is Obsession, a syndicated radio series, kind of a mystery terror series that was produced by C.P. McGregor. C.P. McGregor was a, you might have never heard his name, but he produced a lot of radio shows back in the golden age of radio. One such show was called Proudly We Hail. Later on, after the golden age of radio, he produced a series called Heartbeat Theater, which was a drama series. But he did. He was like a kind of an independent producer of radio shows from the 30s, 40s, and 50s. This was one of his series. He would, you know, put up his own money. He had some investors, and they would create these shows, and they would syndicate them. That's how he made his living. And this show, Obsession, was on the air for a few years, 2 years, from 1950 and 1952. He produced 78 episodes of this series, and it's a very good one. So we'll play some more on the WGN Radio Theater on and some previous, some of the shows that he did. Other shows, too, like Proudly We Hail as well.
Good. Sounds good. Yeah.
Sound
great
good
title,
to you?
Obsession.
Obsession.
Obsession. Like we mentioned, Obsession, we're talking about the movie Obsessed. You don't remember that movie?
Yeah, I never saw that movie.
Yeah, it's kind of obsessive.
Is it good?
It was pretty exciting, actually.
Don't forget, when we come back here next week, Inner Sanctum Mystery, Philco Radio Time, with Bing Crosby, he's going to be singing, and his special guest, Boris Karloff. Boris Karloff. And it's a good Halloween show. Then it's The Sealed Book. That's all on Saturday. Sunday, We have Life with a Luigi, Lisa, and a Halloween show, and then The Mysterious Traveler. We are on 5 hours a week on WGN, Saturday and Sunday nights, 11 p.m. till 2 in the morning on Saturday, and from 11 p.m. till 1 o'clock on Sunday. And we love playing all your favorite classic radio shows.
Yeah, and having fun, a little fun in between.
Yeah.